Hello, everyone, and we are simultaneously broadcasting on Odyssey and Twitter. I want to check out this new Twitter menu. It's always been available because I've always seen, you know, when there are Congress days of hearings, there's multiple media companies that were streaming on Twitter, but I knew it wasn't really up there. I knew the chat is, it's not even clear that I'll be able tonight to see what people say on the chat on Twitter. That is ridiculous. That is ridiculous for a live streaming platform. And it works. We are live on Twitter. 14 viewers to begin with. So we'll see if this is a way to attract new audiences. But Elon is going to have to fix the fact that if I wanted to see the chat on Twitter, I would have to have my phone here in my hand. That's absolute nonsense. Elon, you have to enable the chat for people who are looking at a live stream through the web interface, or else it's not a feeling of family. It's not something I can react to. That is very standard in the live stream business. The difference between us and CNN, Fox News, is that someone can challenge me right away at no cost, just out of what he thoughts, what he thinks is the proper counter, or perhaps I've made an error. That is what's fun with live streaming. And I would have to have a phone emulator right now if I wanted to see it on my computer. That's nonsense. But anyways, we'll see if we can, because the clips were so popular on Twitter that Twitter appears to be a good future for video. If Elon can fix the fact that there's no page where people can update what are the latest JF videos. There's the media page, but it gets mixed in with other type of media, photos, that kind of crap. It doesn't feel like I have to go to the media page to see what someone has published in terms of thumbnails. It's like it's all missing a little bit of work. But anyways, I'm super enthusiastic about Twitter eventually becoming very good, because if it can be a free speech platform, and we know it's not really, but if it can be at least as good as Odyssey, perhaps eventually it can become technically superior to Odyssey. Simultaneously, I'm also noting, amazingly, that passing through my multi-stream system that is given by Streamlabs seems to abolish the Odyssey problem of audio. Because I made a test yesterday, I made a test today, and I started the show today, so that's three times. We didn't get an audio start problem on Odyssey, so perhaps the problem lies in the communication between Streamlabs and Odyssey, and perhaps we won't suffer from this problem if we pass through the multi-streaming option of Streamlabs. Because the way it works is I bought a subscription of Streamlabs. I hate to pay by month or by year, but I thought, okay, for $150, I can get it for a full year. That gives me multi-streaming capability. It will help us to test Twitter progressively. And if Twitter ever becomes a dominant platform, we can move there as our central position. But for now, it is not a viable platform. No super chats. The chat sucks. And so many other problems. I sent a message to Elon Musk today. For Twitter streaming to be viable, we need, one, a chat that is not invasive of the show and that can be readily hidden/shown. A chat that is displayable on web, not just phone. Three, super chats. And four, a page that displays past events with their thumbnail. Because right now it doesn't feel like a video platform where you go, oh, what is the latest JF video? You don't really feel this. You scroll through a feed of JF profile. You don't feel the obligation to watch every video, just like on a streaming platform. Excellent performance by this woman, Just Pearly Things. She went on this British guy. what's Piers Morgan? Piers Morgan. And she made the case, following up on her "woman should not vote" video. She made beautiful points in front of a frustrated feminist who really didn't have any answers. Her point was very basic, very persuasive. Listen to this.
You know, I started reading their writings, right? And what I found out was that the reason a lot of women advocated for it was because they believed it was the beginning of the breakdown of the family. You know, before you became one in marriage, 85% of people were married. And, you know, I hate to say it, but they were right. What has happened 100 years later?
What's that going to do with them having the vote?
Well, it also goes back to responsibility. Again, men are 80 to 90% of the military. They run all of the infrastructures that make society run. So I just think if we want an equal say in society, then be equal. Do 50% of the hard jobs.
Now, this is not an argument I use in a debate because it's a loose argument. But for the stupid feminist that was put against her, that was enough to dumbfound her. And it's a persuasive argument. It's true that females are not fully participating to the risk-taking in society. They end up having much longer lives. So by an objective standard, one could say that the female life is easier in our society. The reason I don't use this argument in a debate is that it's absolutely, it's countered easily by subjective appreciation of something being important. Someone could come back and say, hey, women are carrying children. That's of equal importance to the species. And you would get nowhere in a debate like this. So I prefer focusing on the pragmatic consideration. Are women voting properly? Are they evolved to handle political competition, political parasitism? And the fact is that women have not evolved to handle this. They have evolved to manage the family, but from an interior, within perspective. Women have not been habituated evolutionarily to be faced with decisions about, is this other group a danger to me? Is this other tribe someone we could go at war with? Or should we collaborate with them in commerce? Or should we do this or that with them? The kind of competitive thinking that you need to direct a country kind of roughly in the right direction is male cognition. Male cognition has evolved to handle precisely this. That's why the leftization of society is absolutely parallel to the acquiring of power by women. That's too bad, but when you are on a mainstream platform like this, it's a new show, you're going to be able to lay out your case very quick. Her case worked. It worked here because the feminists had nothing to say about this. So a very good performance by Just Pearly Things. Now, for those of you who have been following my story of TMZ appearance, where through a set of circumstances, they ended up trying to get me to comment on the rumors of a Britney Spears receiving a slap by a head of security protecting an NBA player. We finally have the video, so we're going to be able to see if my speculations were correct. As a reminder, yesterday I said, it looks like Britney Spears went in too enthusiastically, thinking she was Britney Spears, that she could hug a NBA player or attempt to hug an NBA player and that there would be no problem. But the chief of security probably didn't know it was Britney Spears, just saw someone advancing toward the NBA player and did his job, which is to protect the NBA player. So here we have the interaction where Britney Spears gets slapped in the face. So here we can see her enthusiastically advancing and trying to reach toward the NBA star. And here we have the slap. So that would be the slap to review. The head of the security saw that she was attempting to touch the NBA star. That is a physical aggression. He interpreted it as, oh shit, I've not been looking in my back, but there seems to be some risk. I'm going to neutralize the risk. And backhandedly, without really looking in that direction, protected the NBA star against whatever was advancing toward him. That doesn't look to me like an assault. That doesn't look to me like something that should be handled by a police investigation for physical assault. That looks to me like an act of protection, of self-defense by a legitimate guard whose job it was to protect someone precisely from surprise physical aggression. So a big nothing burger in a teacup, says Mark D's channel. I agree with this evaluation. All right, let's keep up with Twitter. We have 46 viewers on Twitter. We have 150 viewers on Odyssey. So Twitter always remains a small platform for streaming. And that's because Elon didn't improve it. And it's never been made a proper streaming platform where people... There's not even a viewer count before the show. There's not even a chat displayed separately. It won't attract people who are interested in the streaming business as long as you don't have these basic features. CNN is so desperate, they absolutely want Threads to beat Twitter. Now, the Threads craziness is already kind of going down, but CNN, of course, is trying to cover this as, oh my God, Threads is successful. I have no evidence that important conversation on the internet has moved away from Twitter. But that's what you would believe if you read this article. Meta's thread upends social media in less than 48 hours. One of the problems is they have used a strategy to get a lot of subscribers, but not necessarily a lot of activity. So you have currently an overestimation of the people who are interested at switching to Threads. The problem is they encourage this whole transition from Instagram to Threads by basically making Threads a sub-app of Instagram. In fact, so much a sub-app that people were dumbfounded to realize that when they install on their phone Threads, they can't then deinstall it without abandoning their Instagram too. Somehow they have tied the two together in a bizarre way where deleting your account on Thread would mean deleting your account on Instagram, because basically, as I said yesterday, it is basically Instagram without the pictures, or with the pictures, but optional. So it is very annoying for many people to find that what we have here is basically a pale version of Instagram. Hermit M says, all owning is forbidden on Threads. Well, political discussion, on edge of other people, any sort of conflict appears like it will be heavily censored on Threads. They want a friendly place. They're going to end up with no place at all. The 19-year-old water polo player Vsevolod Tatkov has been killed in battle against the Russian army. Isn't that old news? Anyways, there was a tweet recently about this, but have I not seen this news maybe a couple of weeks ago, or maybe it's a recent one? But it's an illustration of a country that is abandoning their males, sending them to a fight that is not worth it for them. It's absolutely ridiculous. we have to review something that I've been predicting and many other people have been predicting: the alarming rise of eggless, childless women who become old, demented, and psychotic, just like a lot of women that are younger also. But because they're so desperate, in combination with their childlessness, and they can't understand that when you pass the wall, there's no going back. When you, it doesn't matter that you can look attractive or look by the standard of modern beauty, a nice-looking 40-year-old, you are simply not interesting for reproduction. So you're playing a totally different game of parasitism for no reason at all of a man if you're trying to date at those ages. And here we have a perfect meltdown illustrating what many men have been alarmed and have been calling out a warning signal. We will have a society filled with such women because of the increased anti-natalist propaganda, because of the career-based propaganda, because of all these messages that say, don't get children, it's bad for the environment, it's bad for you. All of this will lead to a lot of childless women who are just begging for sexual attention to the point of absolute psychosis. So here she's standing at the bar, kind of. So that's a airport. So it's an airport. At the airport, you can go at the bar, and some people will drink a lot. You know, they will feel in this kind of airport mood where you're going to be there for hours anyway. There's nothing else you can do other than waiting for your plane. So some people will get drunk and will get in a party ambience. She's there smiling and appearing like she wants to be approached.
Amalia Joy. Hey. Amalia Joy.
Alia Joy, that would be her name.
Amalia.
Amalia. Amalia Joy.
A-L-I-A-J-O-Y.
J-O-Y. Joy.
You can find me on a .com, but I've been trying to switch to .love.
So she can be found on the internet. Does she have her own .love.com, her own website to attract males?
I'll talk right here in front of other people. Yeah. I'm not going to talk alone with you, though, man. You got too much heavy weights on, both of you.
So she says, you two are too fat. Because someone asked her, who are you talking to? She's kind of talking alone. And she says, well, I'm talking to a lot of people. A lot of people are right there in front of me. Well, technically, okay, that's correct. A lot of people are hearing her, so she's not talking alone. And now she says to the guy who asked this, but forget about this, you're too fat.
Thank you. Yeah, no, don't come after me like that. Not with all your weaponry, man. Look at me. Yeah, no, I don't think you are, man.
Look at me. Well, you seem like an eggless woman.
Yeah, just water my hands and I have nothing to talk about. I got nothing to say to you, Mr. Desmond. It's Wong. Yeah? No. No, man. Finished? I found my voice. I'm all done. You're not.
I found my voice. So she is a liberated woman. She has found who she truly was. She is a psychotic bar drunk.
Cage me, man. Cages have been broken. I'll sing. We can talk.
Is your daughter scared? Is that your daughter?
It is. Yes, these men are scaring me. And I.
So now it seems that there may be a security guard or maybe employee. And she's starting to do this whole, these guys are scaring me, they are abusing me.
I had to run. So look him in the eye and tell him that they're not here to scare me.
So she wants the employee to scold them and say, don't scare this woman.
Look at him in the eye, because I know that I'm okay. I'm good. I just...
Not sure about that, woman.
Thank you. Would you like to walk with me? Because I'm not willing to walk alone. Will you tell them I'm right here? Let them come to me.
We're waiting for the flight.
Yeah.
We can't leave us there, so we can't leave.
Oh.
I'm going to walk with you. Would that be okay?
Yes.
And so this social worker, fat woman, I mean, I'm calling her a social worker. I don't know that she is, but she's acting like one. She volunteers to be the caretaker of this schizophrenic woman. She says, I can take her and supervise her until we get to the plane, if that's what you guys want, if that's what you want. So she asks for her consent to be our chaperone until the plane arrives, so that, you know, we don't have a case of crazy woman in the plane.
Hey, Mark. How can you say no to her? Are you kidding me?
Well,
you're going to say no to her?
I'm not your best friend.
And so she says, I'm not your best friend, but I'm here to help.
But I'm here to help you, okay?
Listen to the women say no.
And now she has turned toward victimizing this fat woman for offering help.
You were running up and down, kind of acting cray-cray. So,
sometimes...
Are you guys okay to see me arrested like this? Where are you
right now, you're detained, so please place your hands behind your back.
Okay, Mr. Bacon and Mr. Dimmitt.
Mr. Bacon and Mr. Dimmitt.
Please, place your hands behind your back.
Sweetie, you gotta let go.
I want everybody to know where they're taking me. This is the Hotel California, and they're never coming back.
This is like Hotel California. And what are the lyrics of Hotel California? You can stay however long you want, but you can never leave. She believes they're about to butcher her. Oh, this is like Hotel California.
So stand up, ma'am.
And the fat woman now regrets offering her help, because she is now the thing that this woman holds on to not get captured by the police.
You take me now? Then I'm never coming back! I'm never coming back!
I think it's fine for everyone if you're not ever coming back. I think someone like you would benefit from just traveling in car.
Everyone's just going to stand there and watch?
Well, what do you want them to do? You've been a drunk public person. You're getting arrested.
That is what happened. You're a crazy woman.
You know what
you're not saying? I'm not. I'm not. They said I'm mad. And my children love me. You're going to break my wedding.
Oh, she has children. My children love me. But as you will see in the arrest, even if she has children, she is looking for a boyfriend, because she will ask, actually, the policeman to kiss her.
Ring, and I've never been married. She's
never been married, but she has a wedding ring, and we should be careful not to break her wedding ring.
Never been married? And everyone's just going to let this happen.
Yeah, it's not clear. Perhaps the children were imaginary. I don't know. But she's never been married, but she has children.
This is exactly what has been happening!
This is exactly what has been happening. So people arresting her and cuffing her.
That's exactly what has been happening! So who's the head honcho here? You tell me! Come on, kiss me!
Now this is where you understand what's going on. It is a psychotic breakdown of sexual desire. The issue that she takes is that she is not being sexually desired, because here she just yelled at the police, come on, kiss me.
Kiss me.
Kiss me.
And tell me who's the head on to here. What, I'm not hot enough for you?
I'm not hot enough for you.
I'm not hot enough.
I'm not hot enough.
I'm not sexy enough!
I'm not sexy enough!
I'm just standing!
Oh, and now she spits at the face of the police.
Tell me I'm fucking hot!
Tell me I'm fucking hot. She's experiencing all sorts of conflictual emotions, but eventually they capture her and so perhaps she experiences the conflictual kind of rapish situation of being arrested. Perhaps it excited her, or perhaps she was thrown into a psychotic episode out of despair for not having a husband. She says she hasn't been married. Did she make these babies with fathers, like with weird fathers that disappeared, or did she make them under insemination or something like this without known fathers? It's interesting that it shows right now, months after many people have been warning, we will have an epidemic of females who are desperate, who have been trained to be objects of desires, but who haven't been properly explained. After 35 years old, you are nothing other than what you have already accomplished. Now, it's a long-ass amount of time that you're going to have to pass without a single iota of value on the dating market. Because the average life expectancy for a woman is something like 76, 78, 80 years. After 35, you are worth nothing in the reproductive domain. So that is 35, 40, 45 years of your life that you will spend, where the only thing that you'll be able to grab on emotionally to say, I've accomplished something in life, is what you're going to have done before 35 years old and how you're going to have raised these children as they got older. Go away, says Jeff. We need to shut down international flights until we can flatten the curve of the psychotic woman pandemic. That's a curve you'll never flatten. Go away. But that would be a great idea if we could do anything about it. A new guy says, well, your options are 1, fight, and 2, give up. If you take option 2, you are doing what the lefty wants you to do. There are various forms of giving up. There's giving up and protecting yourself. There's giving up and building a life for yourself elsewhere. So I don't like this dichotomy, but I know you were answering to Silver Spider on the chat. If you would like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey Super Chats are my favorite way to receive support for the show. Alternatively, you can also send Super Chats on Entropy. The link to Entropy and Cointree are in the description. And if you'd like to send Super Chats, make sure you add a payment method in your Odyssey account. All right, I see that the Twitter viewers, it's like they only show up at the beginning and eventually it goes down and down, and while the Odyssey is still going up and up. So clearly Twitter is not a platform where live stream as a main activity is viable here. We have a case of a guy who apparently got assaulted and responded with a gun. I don't know what was the outcome on this, but you can see here he's being surrounded by bigger guys and he's alone and isolated. So here he's clearly gotten assaulted by a hook to his face. And he immediately grabbed a gun and shot. Look at this. There seems to be a guy that's on his side here that looks a little bit like him. Skater, thin skater type of look. And then there's these two big guys who seem to be together. Very massive hook to the face here. And the way he reacts is he feels threatened, gets to his belt. And then as he pulls his gun out, it seems that this guy attempts to grab the gun. Now, normally when someone attempts to grab your gun, you can make a case that you felt your life was threatened, absolutely. So if he can make a case that, hey, I was absolutely convinced that this guy was trying to grab the gun to kill me. I have the right to have my gun for self-defense. He tries to grab it. And so in self-defense, I have to shoot. So that is what seems to have happened here. We don't get the moment of the shooting, but it would appear that the guy in the car shoots the fat man. So yeah, I don't know what else to say about this, but interesting event. This guy is emotionally shocked because he went to the doctor and the doctor started with questions around his children's gender identity. And I warn you guys, the hospitals, the doctors, you're going to have to start shopping. You're going to have to start knowing the difference. There will be a massive generation of doctors who will all have been trained in today's university, and they will be totally pushing this Marxist crap. You're going to have to find very weird doctors who think differently from the system, and there will be less and less of those. DK Shadow says, I refuse treatment. Yes, that is something you should learn. You should not only learn, but you should teach it to your friends, to your family, to children. You do not have to consent to treatment. And be careful of kind of consenting through inaction. Consenting because you can't quite say it. I refuse treatment. Very dangerous situation. Let's hear the father here.
I'm literally on fire right now. I just got off the phone with my wife, who took my 9 and 7 year old boys.
Error. Wife, 9 and 7 year old boys, sent to an organization of the state. You're actually lucky they haven't convinced her to kidnap them from you.
To the doctor today to get physicals for tackle football and school next year and all that other shit. My 9-year-old son went in first, and the first thing this woman...
See how they get to you? You're forced to go get the physiological exam for the soccer subscription so that they can play soccer during the summer. And that forces you to get in front of a doctor, and then the doctor can push the gender non-conforming kind of propaganda.
Asks him is if he identifies as a boy, a girl, gender fluid, or non-binary. My son, he's never heard of any of that shit before. You've been dealing with him your whole life. He is clearly a boy's boy. So what are you, trying to plant a fucking seed in his head?
This guy is a little too emotional and not enough intelligent about his reaction. The reaction should be understand the system, understand what's being pulled against you, and avoid for the future, develop a strategy for the future. You're not going to reason with these doctors. These doctors are following whatever Marxist priors they have themselves or their institution imposed on us. You're going to have to find a lifestyle in which you don't have to submit your children to gender propaganda so they can play soccer. That is what you have to do if you're a rational man. What I see here is not a rational man. You are reactive. They're going to take all of this anger and they will eventually use it against you. If you have a video reaction like this, and when your kids get 12 year old and he does say, oh, non-binary to the doctor, you are in trouble, my friend, because you're being too emotional about it. You seem like someone who's making an ideological blockade about it, when really what you should be doing is take the means to protect yourself from the state. Take the means so that you don't have to submit your children to this. But you do because you're a fucking normie who wants your children to play soccer. The title of this stream could be The Price of Soccer.
The only thing I could be thankful for is that my wife took them instead of me. And props to my wife because she said something. And if she didn't, they would have asked my 7-year-old son the same damn question.
The Marxists will tell you that questions don't hurt. That anyways, it's good for them to be habituated to the fact that there are people who think differently.
This shit is ridiculous. And to the people out there to think that there's nothing wrong with that, and I'm just a transphobe or all that shit, you're fucked up.
Well, they still have power and they still control the hospitals. So how do we set a life forward where you don't have to go to the hospital or to whatever this clinic was every year? You only go there when your child has a leg chopped, basically.
This is bullshit. And there's something wrong with you.
Well, not very productive. But again, I hope that this guy rationalizes here and understands the state is your enemy. They have trained these doctors to be practicing this as their professional standard. And there is no way but to withdraw from society. And there will be cost. This is why I'm kind of pissed at this kind of guy. Because I know this kind of guy. I come from families filled with these kinds of guys. These kinds of guys who would know that the gender crap is evil, but they wouldn't know how to protect themselves from it. And they would eventually succumb to the gender crap, to the vaccine, because they want this little advantage. I do want to go on this vacation in Europe this summer, and so I thought maybe I would get the vaccine. And then I thought, oh, well, if I get the vaccine, I might as well give it to my children. It is always this. Society makes you the offer of the devil, and you guys keep biting again and again. Find a way for your life not to need a physiological exam every year for being a fucking sportsman or competing in whatever crap soccer matches you've prepared for your children and for your own social self-aggrandizement. Aaron Kasparov. Aaron Kasparov is a creator. I'm happy to see him on the chat. He says, denial of biological sex started with the denial of biological race. Denial of race is almost universal at this point. Then did people think it was going to stop there? I would say it's universal in a sense. It is universal in a sense. It is universal in the sense of the normie conversation cannot be about this. But it is not universal in the sense of accepted scientifically and for the right reasons, fact-based, if you will. So I wouldn't say universal, but there is definitely a leftist pushback against truth. I would call it that way. I want to comment on Nick Fuentes and his appearance on Fresh and Fit. It was brilliant. Excellent performance. And at the after party, most importantly, this is what I'll comment on. He was put with a circle of 7 black women by Fresh and Fit to hear, you know, to make the whole classic. Here's this little white boy, racist white boy, and he's going to lay out his racist belief, and we're going to get these black women to be offended. It was a Fresh and Fit setup to that direction, but it turned out actually very good for Nick Fuentes, because ultimately, Nick Fuentes has said things that I cannot even repeat here that would be in contradiction with Canadian law. Like, he's went far. He's went very far. And yet, he wasn't the most racist in this podcast. Like, Someone who truly would look at this strictly from an anti-racist perspective would have to accept, all right, well, you know, here's this guy who's never had a girlfriend and who's saying, yeah, I will have one girlfriend in my life. It's going to be my wife. And yeah, I'm going to choose a white person because it's my only choice. You know, I don't get to explore. I get only one shot at a good Catholic marriage, and I would like my children to be white like me. That is argument, whereas you have actually in the group of black women around him, actually bigoted black woman who one of them even said at some point, white people are, they exist because God had a comedic personality. Basically, white people are a joke that God put on the earth. Like, you have to be highly bigoted to think even that saying something like this is funny. Because if white people were a joke, it's a joke that turned out pretty clever, you know? It's a joke that turned out to hit at something that the world needed a lot, given all of our contributions to the world. And these black women were absolutely deluded, by the way. They were like, oh yeah, everything you got is because of black people. And it's like, okay, well, in what sense? So she goes, well, first, white people come from black people. Okay, so you're going to argue that the common ancestor of humanity was more black clothes, and therefore everything that white people come up with ultimately stems down from black people. It's like, first, it's an assumption. Second, I'm not sure. I'm not sure that the common ancestor had to be more black looking. And it takes a lot for granted, but even then, the question is not so much whether white people are a subset of the descendants of black people or whether you would want to conceive of it. If I told you the penguins are descendants of the dinosaurs, does it mean the dinosaurs have found a way to, you know, they have developed a reptilian life inside Antarctica? They have developed a reptilian way to survive in the extreme cold. You can argue like this in some form, that yes, the penguins are basically dinosaurs who have adapted to the Arctic and the Antarctica climate. But it is anyone who would distinguish between penguins and dinosaurs, anyone who would want to initiate a discussion about, is the dinosaur or the penguin better at living in these extreme climates, it would be clear what they mean. They would mean, even if you consider the penguin as a subset of dinosaurs, the question is still this particular subset of dinosaurs or the whole rest of the dinosaurs, who's better to live in Antarctica? And the answer would be penguins. All of this to say, white people may be a product of some ancestor that may have been black. Very possible. That first, that doesn't make this common ancestor similar to the current blacks of Africa. The current blacks of Africa are as much a derived evolutionary product of these initial black people than white people are, than Asian people are. In other words, we're all faced, from a common ancestor, we are all faced with exactly the same amount of time that we've spent evolving in a direction. And it's not because the common ancestor would be black that it would mean that they share similarities with the blacks of today. I made a joke about Nick's appearance and people got pissed off. They started sending me insults. It was really a joke. Anyone who interprets this as not a joke and I'm trying to start a war against Nick, it's like you don't know me. You don't understand my writing, probably because you've not been following my speech. in my shows. I said, you either adopt JF's yellow temptation strategy or you live long enough to become Nick Fuentes. Which way, Western man? because people were playing with this biased screenshot were taken out of context. And if you've not watched the podcast, it would look like Nick is actually sexually attracted to the boobs of maybe a trans black man. And just this screenshot was making the rounds, and I thought that is a very interesting screenshot in terms of showing something deceptive. Because of course, if you watch the podcast, you'll realize he wasn't obsessed with this person. First, this person isn't trans. It's just a regular black woman, as far as I can tell from her speech. And you know, the screenshot is kind of taken at a bizarre moment where the eyes of Nick happen to be in that direction, but the reality is he's probably looking more at the cops or something like this, and he's just listening to her. So of course it was a joke of publishing misleading content. And there was a very funny girl here. This girl is the only black woman on this whole panel of seven black women, or eight, yeah, seven. She is the only one who's not dating a black guy, and she's dating a Jewish guy. And you could see that she is more clean in her dressing. She is a graduate student, so maybe a MSc or PhD, I don't know. So she's made it into the academia. She has her Jewish husband who will guarantee her ins into, I guess, the academic world, the financial world, whatever. And she was speaking so elevated compared to a lot of these low-level hoes. It was fascinating. Because you can also see that she's paler. There is a couple on that panel who are half black, half Hispanic, half white, some of them. And you could see the admixture, the continuum of admixture. You could see that there were some of these people were true black of sub-Saharan African descent. You could see that some of them had been mixed with Europeans. You could see that one of them was sleeping with a Jew and speaking in a kind of higher culture place, although she wasn't particularly intelligent. She was simply was capable of putting a lot of makeup on her sentences. And you can see how this girl makes it into academia, not being challenged too much. People saying, oh, well, she can kind of sound okay. Like, she's not using the word bitch every two sentences, and so maybe she's intelligent. But when it came to all of the talks, the most important part of the talk was about genetics and is it ultimately the difference between races, black and white, in the U.S., is it genetic? And Nick totally owned them. He came and they were always laying out these regular talking points from like 10 years ago that we've been debunking for a decade now. They were coming up with, oh, well, it's culture, you know, it's the father, and, you know, we didn't get a chance, and there's the oppression, intergenerational oppression. And Nick just totally went like with a lawnmower through this field of grass, and he was like, he merely asserted, no, well, he said, no, I don't believe, I believe that it's genetic, and if you look at the people who have been researching in this, it's pretty much consensual that IQ is genetically determined, mostly genetically determined, and in fact, more genetically determined than pretty much any other cognitive measure we have of humanity. And it totally threw them under the floor. He didn't have to talk twin studies and details. He just had to assert, and they didn't know what to say about this, other than just fighting back with their own assertion. And eventually, there were some facts that were the crux of an important argument about immigrants. Black immigrants are actually doing better than descendants of slaves in the U.S. And Nick perfectly laid this out. He said, if it was about racism, if it was about people judge your skin color, the black immigrants wouldn't be doing so good. They would be punished by the same amount of racism as anyone else with their skin color. And so that is a beautiful illustration that once you pass through the modern immigration selection system, you will end up being a little richer, a little more high IQ, a little more educated because you came in on a visa. So the system will end up selecting slightly higher IQ people. And we can see that, therefore, it's not racism that keeps people down in America. There were some super edgy comments by Nick. It was very comedic. I cannot repeat those edgy comments. They would be illegal in Canada, but it made me laugh. I laughed my ass off at the beginning. The way he did, I can't even explain it. It was fun. What else did I have to say? Yeah, that is it. And then they moved on to a dating place, to a dating conversation, where, and this is where Fresh and Fit, you know, our unfit intellectual carriers, where the discussion got into, oh, well, that's kind of hypocritical. You're bringing your man at the club. He doesn't want you to go at the club. You want to go at the club, but you don't want your man to go at the club. I don't want my man to go at the club. It was so low IQ, kind of black talking points about the club, the club. Nick handled this part perfectly. He stayed silent for basically an hour. And when they were trying to get anything from him, he said, just don't go at the club. Nothing good's gonna happen at the club. Because they were like, oh, well, it's hypocritical. You don't want your man to be at the club, but you want to go at the club. Now you're gonna get fucked by some other guy. It was cringe. And the right response to this is don't go at the club. And Nick perfectly had it. So 10 out of 10 for the performance of Nick Fuentes here. Resurfaced footage shows Titan spinning after pilot loses control on a mission. So apparently at this moment, that's a testing moment, and they were trying to get to the Titanic. They were just 300 meters from the wreck. When the pilot said there is a problem, and he proceeded to confirm that the submersible was spinning out of control.
Am I spinning?
Yes.
I am?
Yes.
Looks like it.
Now you're going north.
Oh my God.
And Scott is like, oh no, we have a problem.
One I'm thrusting forward, one of the thrusters is thrusting backwards right now. So the only thing I can do right now is a 360.
You know, I was thinking, we're not going to make it.
She was thinking, we're not going to make it. And she was basically right. Someone didn't make it, but it turned out that it wasn't them. People have asked me to comment on a Sargon of Akkad statement about race. We'll see what he's saying right here.
People into the new country and then say, right, you are now French. That doesn't work. because people are different. And there are people who are like, ah, well, what you're saying, this is race. It's like, no, it's not race, because North Africans genetically are basically the same as Southern Europeans.
So North Africans basically are genetically the same as South Europeans.
Because, of course, North Africa and the Mediterranean region has been a melting pot, dare you use the term, for the last 2,000, 3,000 years. Like, all of these people have been in close contact with each other. There have been empires that have spanned the entire thing. There's been a great movement of population. So these people are racially very, very similar, right? You probably wouldn't be able to tell a North African from a Spaniard or an Italian by looking at them, right? The skin tone is basically the same, but they come from different civilizations.
Is that true? No, it is not true. People were publishing PCAs, this one, for example. Europeans are well separated. Now, this is not a particularly interesting PCA because it doesn't show much populations from North Africa. I mean, you have Middle Eastern populations here, but you can see the Spanish, the Basque. So southern populations of Europe are definitely within the European cluster. Rather than this PCA that was published on Twitter, I like to look at this PCA because at least it contains some of the things we're talking about. For example, here, let's take... we have Greek. I believe we have Basque here. So Basque is here. It is a southern European population spreading between Spain and France. We have Spanish here. Spanish right here. And then I believe that there were some North African countries that are truly in Moroccan Jew right here. And that is Moroccan Jews. Now, the non-Jews, they will lay pretty much here or perhaps even here. So it is definitely, there is a distinction between Moroccans and Spaniards. And that distinction could be enough to warrant a different appearance, warrants a different behavior, warrant different characteristics of cognition. Another North African country, Libyan Jews, right here, separated from Spaniards. Now, of course, if you add super distant groups, you're going to realize that this is a point of a set of two axes that are like this, and it's kind of laying together at the point, but not together to the point of being basically the same. Together to the point where we can say, yes, these populations are intermixed and relatively close, but they are completely distinct enough that you could detect differences in behavior, that you could detect differences in phenotype. Aaron Kasparov says, European diversity is the good kind of diversity. Oh, well, any statement about diversity is wrong. I've made the case for this. People who talk about diversity being good or bad in and of itself, they haven't thought it through. There is always a point you can bring diversity to where you wouldn't want diversity. Like, would you want diversity between murderers and non-murderers? Or do you think that society is better with no diversity on the murderer axis? Obviously, you'd have to argue that we don't want murderers. That's why we put them in jail. So saying that diversity in and of itself has a moral value is demonstrably wrong, because you can always make a case of an axis of diversity that someone wouldn't want of. That is the Treads reaction. Some people have a problem that the app is not loading. When they deleted and reinstalled the app and logged back in, it's still facing the issues. If it's still like for a few days, I'm about to sue Instagram for the lack of maintenance over the loading bug on posts and feeds. App not loading, needed for work. It seems that somehow the relationship between Threads and Instagram has led to a whole breaking of Instagram itself. I wanted to talk about this movie because it's a movie I have a great difficulty getting interested in. But it's like a movie that everyone is commenting on right now, and it seems I may have to watch it eventually. The Sound of Freedom. It seems so cringe. So cringe. I hate these MAGA-oriented Christian movies. I hate God is Not Dead. Because the freaking Christians are annoying in the way they can't help but put their morals explicitly into a movie. And it leads to highly cringy, highly annoying scenes. Like, when you watch God is Not Dead, it's like it's very clear that it's been made by someone who wanted to send you the message that God is okay and that rationality tells you that God exists. And it seems that Sound of Freedom is exactly this, but not for the question of atheism. Rather, on this one, it seems to be about child trafficking. So we have a boomer here who goes on a quest to stop child trafficking and the international pedophile networks, saving non-white people from sexual market trafficking of any kind. I don't know. It seems like it's going to be a massive cringe. So thankfully, Devin Stack has watched it, so I can live in peace because I trust that Devin Stack here is representing it properly. He says, watch Sound of Freedom. Ultimately, it's a boomer white savior fantasy, white people saving brown kids in foreign countries, complete with most the film being in Spanish to promote Hispanic outreach, or maybe they've just accepted that American audiences are no longer white. I will say I was pleasantly surprised, however, that the first part of the film heavily implies the big pedo in the America is a Jew. By the way, not long ago, making movies mostly Spanish wasn't normal, even when they were set in Spanish-speaking countries, since the movie was for English-speaking audiences. For example, Hunt for Red October used very little Russian, but the demographics slash audiences have changed. So yeah, it seems that this movie is kind of trying to pull a conspiracy Christian type of crowd in, but that would also be Hispanic. It's probably a sign of change of the times, because the Republican Party and the right in general are kind of attracted. They're attracted toward the Hispanic population, kind of precisely Nick Fuentes type of people, who may be able to carry the torch of right wing democracy, but perhaps not white people if they keep reducing in number. A gigantic swarm of grasshoppers flying into Utah is so large that it is picked up by weather radar. Look at this little flag. A flag formed by insects flying toward a direction. Covey Killer Clown says, Jeff, you want real cringe? Check out this movie, Nefarious. Nefarious. On the day of his scheduled execution, a convicted serial killer gets a psychiatric evaluation during which he claims he is a demon and further claims that before their time is over, the psychiatrist will commit 3 murders of his own. That sounds, yeah, it could be seen as cringe, I guess. But that doesn't sound as cringe as Sound of Freedom. So CNN has an article trying to defend the boomers against Gen Z, and it's super long before they answer what they claim on the title, that there is a myth about baby boomers. And I was like, where is this myth? Like many times they say, what is this myth? And we've seen that this there is a myth, but and they say the myth is that baby boomers didn't like war. And this myth comes from the Vietnam War protest. And it's a myth that baby boomers didn't like war. And this made me realize, holy shit, CNN. CNN is headed toward reactivating the war machine with the young people of today. They will be trying to reconciliate the American population with the idea of war. And now they're even defending boomers, you know, after the fact, saying, oh yeah, it's false to think that boomers were against the war. It's false to have this view that civil rights is inherently incompatible with a warmongering positioning. So they will be trying to rehabilitate the left and war to gain as much support as they can for war in the left. It's going to suck. Mark D's channel sends a super chat. Thank you so much. He says, salut, Jeff. Thanks for the show. The Christian prays that God may protect you and your work, at least until the rapture. All right, Mark D. And I like Christians. My comment earlier was about Christians are annoying when they make moral movies. Christians have way too much explicit moral communication capabilities, but so little implicit. It's like they have to highlight everything explicitly about the moral of their story. Whereas the great beauty of, if you will, the Jewish cultural input into our society is this kind of subtlety. Perhaps this subtlety comes to the point of deception at some point. And perhaps, yeah, you know, a lot of the cultural changes that were induced in the last 50 years, perhaps a lot of it came kind of under the radar of our detection capabilities and came in the form of a subversive attack on society. And I don't want Christians to become deceptive, but I would like Christians to at least master the elements of a subtle story, you know, a story where everything doesn't have to be, boom, hammered in your face. Shrigmamel has sent another super chat. Thank you so much. I'm so happy about Shrigmamel's current state of affair, because I've been, for those who have been following the show for a year or more, he's been asking me for counseling and dating. He's been taking a lot of risks and making a lot of bold moves in his dating life. And jumped from girl to girl and eventually came to a girl he inseminated on the first night, but she got an abortion. He says, Jeff, I'm surprised I scored such a cute girl at the bar that's madly in love with me, who is now my girlfriend. Thank you so much for the advice over the past 2 years. And Shrigmamel has sent me a picture. And that is a beautiful woman, my friend. And see, Shrigmamel's father was telling him, don't go for these one-night stands. I hate this. And he was very distraught at all this. I was understanding that opening the possibility to one-night stands doesn't mean that you are close to finding a woman of quality. It just means you're going kind of fishing. You're taking risk and you're casting a wide net. that doesn't deprive you of finding the right girl, finding the beautiful, loyal girl who wants a one-to-one long-term relationship with you. So that is where, and sometimes you will find that girl in a bar, just looking for attention, just ready to grab the first man, because in her mind, she's ready. She's actually already chosen in her mind. The next guy that comes to me and says hi, I'm going to fall in love with him. It's pretty much how it's happening in their head. So that's why I've been counseling you, not necessarily to actively go for just one night stands, but to just be open and just spam the female side until you find something good. And there you go, you found it. I mean, I can't guarantee. Maybe she's going to be crazy. Maybe she's going to be disloyal. But you are in a good position where you have a super decent looking, I mean, very cute face woman there. I wouldn't say 10 out of 10, but absolutely acceptable, like 8 out of 10 easy. You have this, and she, from the very first day she's with you, she's totally attached to you, and she says to him, I'm mad in love with you. I want this to be serious. In front of the question, do you want us to be a one-night stand or do you want it to be a serious relationship? She says, no, I want serious. I'm in love with you. That's amazing. I find you amazing. Well, that's good, man. That's good. That's the best situation you could be in at your age. There's no such thing as a guarantee. So you don't have a guarantee with her, but you won't have a guarantee with anyone. But you are on the track, on the best track to success. Saturn Shine says, JF's head. What about it? What about it, Saturn Shines? What about my head? They claimed recently that we had seen the hottest day ever. Hottest day ever, but it was debunked. I was like, yeah, it's impossible that it was the hottest day ever, at least not in the places where I live, because I've seen in the past few years, I've seen much, much, much hotter days. Now, I thought maybe it's the hottest day in some areas of the world. I don't know. But certainly I felt that much of this was deception, and it's been debunked, actually. AI is being overhyped. That I've said. I've said that the current wave of AI interest for what is strictly basically a bunch of language models will be very limited. And we're seeing this as way bigger. It's being presented as way bigger than it actually is. Crunching the numbers, Justice Jackson's dissent on affirmative action doesn't add up. So it's the claim that there were two claims that were debunked. One was the second deadliest mass shooting in U.S. history was the anti-LGBT attack. Apparently, that was incorrect. And in fact, because the shooter didn't even intend his attack to be anti-LGBT, he wasn't aware that of the type of nightclub that it was. So he went for a random nightclub. And a second claim that people have been criticizing is the fact that black babies have higher rates of dying at the hands of a white doctor than at a black doctor. And people were pointing out that just because white doctors have higher degrees of specialization, so they end up in the hospitals dealing with the extreme cases. And so they end up having the patients of all the races that have extreme disorders that do lead them to die. So you can't just say, oh, I'm going to count the number of people that die under your care. You're sending all of your grave cases to the white doctors. Yeah, that is an important point. You know, you just can't assign a baby's death to the race of their doctor without asking yourself, is it possible that I'm asking more of white doctors on average than I am of black doctors? Because if your average black doctor is in the general practice and your average white doctor is more likely to be in a surgery kind of near-death type of situation, the baby's gonna die under the white doctor's hand, and it's not his fault. It's really because they've made the best attempt at saving him and it didn't work. Interesting counter to hear the justice of the Supreme Court. What's her name? Justice Jackson. Indian tribe, that will be our last news item tonight. Indian tribe demands America-hating ice cream, commies, Ben and Jerry's, return stolen land the HQ was built on. That is such a beautiful illustration of the left, because Ben and Jerry have been involved in so much moral displays. Oh, we're good. Look at us, how good we are. We are opposed to this. They're even opposed to some Israeli actions, you know, and being Jewish. They even are so Jewish that they're like a pro-Palestinian on some stuff. And then, but that was weird. That was weird. It was a very complex news story that I still haven't figured it out. But anyways, they're always in the display of leftist moral greatness. And now some people are calling them out and saying, hey, well, if you want to be a true leftist, you need to give us back our land. This was Indian, American Indian land. You stole it from them. Give it back. Thank you.